Well, today I want to title the message, maybe a little strangely, Stop Yoking Around. Stop Yoking Around. Because I want to say this gospel really is about a problem that we all have to one degree or another, and that's the problem of anxiety or of fear or just feeling burdened. And an awful lot of our anxiety and our fear and our burden are because we are not really yoked with Jesus. And we're not really carrying the yoke he has for us, but we're doing other things. And we're piling up extra lumber on our shoulders. And the Lord gives us, if you will, threefold advice today for how to be less anxious, less fearful, and less burdened. And so let's begin to look at them. I'll list them for you, and then I'll explain them. But he says basically three things will help us. Filiation, which I'll explain, imitation, and simplification. Now, first of all, filiation. Filiation is just a jazzy $10 word that basically means to experience our status of being a son or a daughter of God. And not just intellectually, I'm a son of God, I'm a daughter of God. I don't just mean intellectually, but to actually experience that I have a father who loves me. I have a father who's very smart, who knows what he's doing. And even if at times I'm a little bit anxious and wonder how this is all going to work out, God's not doing that. God's not wondering and worrying about how it'll work out. And so filiation is this experience that God is my father, and that I'm his son, that I'm his daughter. Now, Jesus says this. He says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden many things from the wise and the learned, you revealed these things to the merest children, to the little ones. You know, brethren, an awful lot of our struggle in life is that we just think too much. Just thinking. Now, look, there's a place for thinking. Don't get me wrong. I want you to be careful of what I'm saying here. In fact, there's also a place for us to come to maturity, right? Where we're living thoughtful lives. However, when it comes to our relationship with God, we never ever abandon our status as a little child. I don't care if you're 85, I don't care if you're 95. God's a lot older than 95. And we're always God's little children. And we always need to go before him with that childlike, not childish, but childlike simplicity that says, Father, help. I don't understand everything. I don't know everything, but it's enough for me, Heavenly Father, that you know everything and that you understand everything. You know, when I was a little child, and I mean I'm talking now a very little child, things changed for me at about age 7. But when I was a very little child, it was enough for me to know that my parents had everything under control. I didn't need a lot of information. You know, for example, if we were going somewhere in the car, I would certainly ask, are we there yet? But beyond that, I didn't need to know whether we had gas in the tank or whether we're going right or left at the next corner. I didn't need to worry about any of that. I just figured my parents knew that, and it was all taken care of. Are you praying with me? And you know, at least in an ideal family setting, I hope a lot of you had that experience too, that an awful lot of anxieties weren't part of your life when your parents were there and just taking care of the things. And so it is that only when I got a little older and my father was called away to the war and suddenly he was gone and I began to worry. But as long as I knew my father was there, an awful lot of anxieties weren't part of my life. And so when he came back from the war, I went through again a period of great relief. Daddy's home, and there's so many things I don't need to worry about now. And so it is that I hope that all of us, whether you had that experience growing up or not, I pray you did, but that we can begin to develop that relationship with the Father. We don't have to know everything, and we don't have to have everything worked out, and you don't need to know what tomorrow will bring. It, increasingly, let it become enough for you that the Father knows what's going to happen to you tomorrow, and that He's already provided. Are you praying with me, church? We just think too much about a lot of things. Things that at the end of the day, we can't figure out anyway. You know, let me just give you a few thoughts about thoughts. First of all, don't believe everything you think. Do you know how easily mistaken we are? Well, he said that because of this. Maybe. Maybe. Maybe not. Well, the boss looked at me bad, and that means I'm going to lose my job. Well, maybe he had gas pains. Everybody's out to get me. Well, maybe. But maybe they have better things to do with their time than figure out how to get you. Maybe there's a few other things on their mind. Now, what I'm trying to say to you is that a lot of times we're walking around with thoughts in our head that aren't necessarily true, or they may be true but only partly true. Maybe there's some distinctions to be made. But it's so often the face, it's so because I think so. Well, maybe. You know, back down a little bit. Because I'm telling you, an awful lot of erroneous thoughts generate an awful lot of anxiety in us. Because we think we know what's going on. We make all these conclusions. And you know what? Most of the time, we don't really know most of what's going on. We just don't. And so, first of all, that's important. Secondly, we always think that if I know or get a lot more information, I'll be more calm. Not necessarily true at all. You know, if you were to know that 2 weeks from today you're going to have a horrible car accident and be laid up for 6 months in the hospital, would you be more or less anxious? If only I could know the future. Well, you do know the future. If you're faithful to Jesus, you'll be with Him in glory. You don't need to know anything else in between. But you see, brethren, we always want God to tell us all these things. And God says, listen, you can't bear it now. You're not ready for it. Remember Job in the Bible? Tell me why. Why did this happen? And so God shows up and He speaks to Job. And He says, Job, I'll answer your question if you'll answer mine. Deal. Job, how did I put all the stars up there? And the planets? And how did I make the ocean and carve out its basin and say to its proud waves, this far but no further? Job, if you can tell me how I did all that, and I just did that on the back of an envelope. If you can tell me how I did all that, then I'll tell you why you're going through what you're going through. Oops. You see, I think, brethren, we have to accept that even if God did tell us, all we would hear would be thunder. It wouldn't make a lot of sense anyway. At some point, become more like a little child with God and say, Father, there are many things that are too big for me to understand. There are many things that I think I understand, but I really don't. I only have part of the information. Help me to be a humble, childlike person in your presence. Help me to begin to trust you and to not demand all kinds of answers that even if you gave them, I wouldn't understand. Help me not to demand information that even if I had it, I'd be worse, not better. Help me to know that my mind is very small and you are very wise and you're very big. And you're very powerful, and I just need to trust you. Like a little child. You know, a few thoughts about little children. Children know where to run when they fall down and hurt themselves, skin their knee, run quickly to mom or dad. Children know instinctively how to cry out for help when they need help. Are you praying with me? And children know that they don't know a lot of things. So they're always saying, why? Or how come? They're open to being taught. Now, you know that you're dealing with a teenager when they start saying, I know a few things. And we've abandoned the childlike and we've gone into the teenage. Do you know what? We do know a very few things. Children are also filled with fascination and wonder and awe. Wow! Neat! Look at this. Ooh, the color purple. Wow, neat. Ooh, look, birds fly. Why do they fly? How do they fly? Does the light really go off when you close the refrigerator door? You know, children are always fascinated and wondering and filled with fascination and wonder and awe at the power and the majesty and the mystery of all things. Too many of us become jaded because I do know a few things. And we stop asking questions and we think we have things figured out. You know, church, we don't have things figured out. Why does anything exist at all? Go figure that one out. I'll give you one answer. It's love. God's love. But you know what, brethren? To be childlike is to be humble, to be simple, to be needy, but to know where to go when those needs arise. And if we can become more simple and humble and childlike in our relationship with God our Father, an awful lot of anxiety begins to go away. Because we don't have to have everything figured out. We don't need every answer. It becomes increasingly enough that my Abba, my God, my Father, knows all things. My Heavenly Father watches over me. Though billows roll, He keeps my soul. My Heavenly Father watches over me. Beautiful old hymn. Look it up in the hymnal. Now, so that's the first thing. The Lord says to us, many things the wise and the learned will never figure out, but the childlike lay hold of. And so the invitation for you and me to be free of a lot of our anxiety, much of which comes from our pride and I'll take care of it, and as long as I know, I'll handle it stuff. Too much anxiety comes from that. Let go of that and say, Daddy God, I love you. I need you. Help me. Keep me humble. Keep me close to you. And so much. I will just tell you that my own journey back to the Heavenly Father has been key to my letting go of an awful lot of anxiety. Secondly, the Lord says not just filiation, but imitation. He says this in the text. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. For I am meek and I'm humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. Now, in the middle there is the prescription. How will you find rest for yourselves? How will you find relief from being labored and burdened? Come to me, he says, for I am meek and humble of heart. Now, I want to say that there's a lot of ink that's spilled on this concept of being meek, but it's related to another concept called being poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, says the Lord. Now, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? To be poor in spirit means to be poor to the things of this world, but rich to the things of God. The poor in spirit are those who have learned that they depend on God, and they've learned to depend on God. The poor in spirit, again, have their wealth in heaven, and they're poor to the things of this world. Now, we all need a place to live. We all need a little bit of money and income. I get that, and God knows that. But to be poor in spirit is to begin to lose our obsession with the things of this world. And we do have obsessions. And it isn't just about money and things. It's also about being popular and powerful. being highly regarded and highly thought of. And I tell you, people become obsessed with being liked, being thought of as beautiful, as glorious, as powerful, of being esteemed. They also have obsessions. We all have obsessions with things and bigger houses and bigger barns and bigger cars and bigger houses, bigger hair, all of it. And it causes us incredible anxiety. Now, come on, admit it. The more we have, the more anxious we are. We've never had so much as we do in the modern age. And we've never been so anxious. There are high statistics of, I forget what it is, but an awful lot of people taking psychotropic meds just to stay calm. And there's a lot of other self-medicating going on called drinking and drugging. I got news for you. All this anxiety is produced largely, not entirely, but largely by our obsession with the things of this world. So, to become meek and humble of heart, to become poor in spirit, means that we begin to lose our obsession. I no longer need to have the biggest house, or the biggest hair, or to be the most popular, or to have the most money. That stuff doesn't seem to interest me as much anymore. It's enough that I know my God, and I know where I'm going, that I have my treasure with God and the things waiting for me in heaven. And I tell you that if you and I can begin to lose our obsession with all the things of this world, an awful lot of anxiety just starts to go away. You know, it doesn't really matter whether you got the promotion at the end of the day. Walk through a graveyard. Some people got the promotion in that graveyard. Some people didn't. They're all in the same place. 7 cemeteries are filled with indispensable people. And somehow we've muddled through. Brethren, your real wealth is God and the things waiting for you in heaven. In the meantime, we do need a few things to get by. I get that. We need clothing. We need houses of worship. We need our own homes to live in. We need, yes, I get that. And God knows that too. But he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these other things will be taken care of for you. You'll have what you basically need. You may not have everything you want or think you want, and you may not have it as instantly as you want it. All right. You'll have what you basically need. And I'm a witness, and God's been awful good. He's taken good care. You know, brethren, please remember, so much anxiety comes from our obsession with the world. And be very careful, because when you watch a lot of television, and especially a lot of commercials, they don't just scratch where you itch. They give you the itch in the first place. You didn't even know you were itching there. You haven't lived until you drank this beer, used this toothpaste, driven this kind of a car, and, you know, wear this kind of clothing. Really, honestly, most of it's lies. You don't really need all that stuff. But you see, again, we expose ourselves to that, and we didn't even know we had an itch there, and we didn't. It was given to us. So be very careful what you're looking at all day, because it raises the levels of anxiety. So again, the first two things we've looked at, how to be increasingly free of anxiety, is first of all, filiation. Learn to trust and have a childlike trust and simplicity and relationship with God, the Heavenly Father. Secondly, imitate the Lord, who was meek and humble of heart, who was poor in spirit, who didn't even own his deathbed, who had nowhere to lay his head. Even the bed that he died on, the cross, was not his own. I'm not saying do you live out in the open. I'm not saying live on a park bench. But I'm saying learn that so much of what we think we need, we don't. And when you get it, you also get anxiety with it. So start counting the cost. And the third one is simplify. The Lord says here, He says, look, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, there's a little word in there, my, and I want to get back to that. First of all, let's just be clear, we all understand what a yoke is. Basically, the Lord is using it as an image for the cross. But a yoke is, most of you know, but let's just be clear. You can't put a rope around the neck of an animal and ask it to pull a 500-pound cart. You'll choke the animal, right? Because all the weight, all 500 pounds and all the other inertial weight is on the neck of the animal, and it's just not possible. So what you do is you take a wooden truss of some kind and you carve it up carefully, and you spread that across the front of the animal. And then the whole weight of the animal can move forward with the cart. Are you praying with me? So a yoke is something that's meant to help us carry a load. Now, carpenters had to work very carefully to make sure that those wooden yokes fit the animal perfectly. Because if not, the animal would get blisters and start to bleed. Because again, the weight is all on little points rather than across the whole front of the animal. It's like a new pair of shoes, amen? You know what, you put them on like, ooh. And by the end of the day, you got blisters, you know? Well, you get the point. So you need, these yokes need to be, so when the Lord says, my yoke is easy, He doesn't mean simple. The Greek word is krestos, which means more literally, it's well-fitting. It's like an old shoe. It fits you perfectly. You get the idea? So the Lord is saying, come to me now and learn to simplify your life, because I do have a cross for you. We all need crosses, whether we like to admit it or not. And the Lord has some crosses for us. But the cross that He has for us is well-fitting. My yoke, the cross I have for you is easy in the sense of being well-fitting. It's suited to you. Now, notice that, again, my yoke. Here's the problem, brethren. It's related to the other 2 points. We pile up a lot of extra wood on our shoulders that does not belong there. We take on tasks and we do things that we've got no business doing. And they might be good things, but God didn't mean it for you to do it. Somebody else should have done it. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you, it is astonishing how many huge life-changing decisions we make without ever asking God. People will take jobs, take promotions, move from one city to another without ever as much as saying, God, is this part of the yoke that you have for me or not? People will get married without asking God. Brethren, pay attention. Don't go on piling up extra things in your life that God doesn't intend for you. Because if not, if you do that, you don't have the graces, and they become a source of anxiety. They become a burden. They become difficult. And the Lord never asked you to do it in the first place. And then what happens is we get angry. I'm down here working so hard for the kingdom, and you don't even help me. And God said, well, the yoke I have for you is well-fitting, but you're doing stuff I didn't ask you to do. You never asked me. Now, again, there is discernment that we all have to make. I, your pastor, will sometimes say, would you help me in such and so a project? And I'm hoping you'll say yes. On the other hand, I hope you ask God first. You know, there's an awful lot of stuff we're doing. This add-on stuff. And God doesn't need it or mean it for us. So I would ask you, just discern. Now, back then to the original question, then I'm done. Why are you anxious? Why am I anxious? Why are we so fearful and burdened? Well, part of the answer is because we're yoking around. We're doing things that God doesn't really intend for us. We're becoming focused on things that are not important, and we're neglecting the things that are important. Maybe it's first of all because we're not in touch with our Heavenly Father at all. Too many people go on for days without ever talking to their Father. Have a childlike faith and simplicity where you know how to run to God. I love the Lord. He heard my cry and he pitied every groan. Long as I live and troubles rise, I'll hasten to his throne. I'll hasten to his throne. And the Lord says, you're also focused on a lot of things about this world that aren't that important. They're trifling trinkets and they're passing away. And you're all obsessed about them and running after them. And at the end of the day, you're going to be in the graveyard next to the poor guy. Both of your head in the same place. Why are you so obsessed about power and popularity and possessions? Why? Why do you get so focused on those things? And it causes you so much anxiety. Learn that you don't need 9/10 of the stuff you got. Have the yard sale and be free of some of it. And then thirdly, learn to simplify by not taking on lots of extra things and tasks that I never asked you to take. Because I do have a cross for you, and that one fits. All that other stuff just burdens you and makes you anxious. Not bad advice from Jesus today, huh? Not easy to implement, I got that. But here's the idea. It's not like you snap your fingers and suddenly have a perfect relationship with the Father, suddenly have, you know, no obsessions with the world, and suddenly have all the right decisions. But make the journey. Stay in that conversation with the Lord. An awful lot of our anxieties and fears we blame on God, and it is not about God, it's about me. It's about what I'm doing or failing to do. And the Lord just says, let me give you some advice. Filiation, imitation, and simplification. My Heavenly Father watches over me, so stop yoking around. Though billows roll, he keeps my soul. My Heavenly Father watches over me.